leaving an inheritance of hope. Today, the very freedom of our nation, Aotearoa, the land of the long white cloud, God's own country, the coastlands at the ends of the earth, is being threatened. We are facing a challenge as to what type of country we will leave as an inheritance, not necessarily for our children, but our grandchildren. We need to think through into the years to come and what kind of inheritance are we leaving. Godly principles, Judeo-Christian laws, morality and decency are being swept up in a raft of legislation and rhetoric that goes against almost anything and everything that the church stands for. And some people are being blinded and are being used as pawns to pit one group of citizens against another. And this is underway in our lovely country right now. The NIV Bible mentions inheritance 238 times. So it must be pretty important. It mentions hope 166 times. So I guess inheritance, going on the NIV, is more important than hope. There's also love and faith, and they're in big numbers as well. But these are numbers that show that the Lord God Almighty is very concerned about us speaking hope and is very concerned about people having an inheritance, which is a blessing for them to do something with in the future, something they didn't work for, something they may not have even fully deserved, but it's just here. Have it and use it. When I first came to New Zealand, a man by the name of Harold Caballeros, or somehow like that, preached a series in the nation called Return to the Stronghold, You Prisoners of Hope. Zechariah 9:12, even today I declare I will restore double to you, for I have bent Judah to be my bow. I have fitted my bow with a spear or an arrow called Ephraim, or Israel, and I've raised up your sons, O Zion, or Jerusalem, against the sons of Greece. And the sons of Greece speak about the worldly government and the worldly system, and Greece was eventually dominated by Rome, and it flows through, but we still have a lot of Greek culture and a Greek aspect of it's humanism, it's niceness, and all of that, and it's there's a whole lot of good stuff, but there's a lot of demonic evil realm sitting underneath. So return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope, because we are coming against the sons of Greece, the Gentiles, the heathens, and the very world system that we are living in. Over 2021, I've preached a series on David. And this is David's last words, or exploit number 9. We've looked at some good points and bad points. We've seen him turn a blind eye when there was a rape happening. We've seen him almost go and kill a man just because he wouldn't give them any food. And we've seen a lot of things happen. And he finds a few girls here and there. He had a penchant for doing those kind of things. But even though he made wrong, hasty decisions, he always came back to praise the Lord. And I've chosen this exploit as the last exploit for the series I'm doing because it speaks about his final words of blessing and of provision for Israel. It's nothing to do with David. It's a little bit to do with his son, but only through his son, so he can use the blessing to do something for the nation and the country. 2 Samuel 23, verses 2 to 4. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His words are upon my tongue. That's pretty good. If you go home with nothing else, go home with that the Spirit of the Lord speaks through you, and His words, the Holy Spirit's words, can be on your tongue. The God of Israel spoke. The Rock of Israel said to me, the one who rules righteously, who rules in the fear of God, is like the light of morning at sunrise, like a morning without clouds, like the gleaming of the sun on new grass after rain. There's some pictures there that we can grasp hold of and know that this is how we should be when we have one who rules righteously and rules in the fear of God. Continually in David's life is the assurance that he knows his God and knows his God intimately. He's got to know him well through repentance and through sobbing and through tears and through prayer. And God gives him the words to speak. And in the New King James Version, it said, "He who rules over men must be just," in this paragraph we're using. And this is the focus we're using in David's last exploit this morning, that he who rules must be just. It says about a morning without clouds. Now, that's a morning. You can tell that because over by, I didn't bring my pointer, there's a tree there just above the water line with a little bit of branch coming out, and beyond that is a ship. It's a container ship. That is Napier. Hawke's Bay. Doug told me, go to the bay, young Graham. I don't know whether he added the young. Maybe I put the young in because I just thought it was nice to put in. He might have just said, go to the bay, Graham. But I think it's go to the bay, young Graham. I like that. And we woke up every morning in a caravan. These are the poles of the tent. And the sun rose up about where that little flag, that bit of tree is, and where that container is, and we were blinded with this yellow light, something you don't often see every morning in Upper Hutt. Prior to that, it was orange and red and all the colours. Kalinda's got orange and Melissa's got red, and all those colours came across the sky, and then the yellow, the blinding of the sun came out. And we had mornings without clouds. There are no clouds there. I rang a couple of people up and told you there are no clouds. There are no clouds. No matter how hard you look, there are no clouds. There's our bumps in our back wall. If you think they're clouds, they are not clouds. And we were looking over Napier. But this is how our life should be. We should have a clarity of life. We should have a peaceful existence. We should have, don't do that, Graham, when one rules righteously as our leader. And do you wake up with that blessing every morning? I don't think we do at this stage and at this time. We continue on with David in 2 Samuel 23, and he doesn't mince his words. David knows how to use words precisely. But the godless are like thorns to be thrown away, for they tear the hand that touches them. Have you ever pulled a prickle bush or a box fence? Go up to Taranaki, they've got all these hedges that they use as fences, and if ever you lose a hubcap and it spins into the hedge and you go to find it, you'll come out with the thorns will pull the skin off you. One must use iron tools to chop them down, and they need to be totally consumed by the fire. A question. Do you know of any godless, and I'll just keep it there, wanting to have input into your life? David is very clear what should happen to them. He doesn't mince around. If there are godless things affecting your life, you need to get strong about it, but you need strength to be strong with the right tools. The New King James Version on that scripture, and I thank Ryan. Ryan did a great unpacking the other week on looking at scripture and looking at other contexts and looking at things. And I really enjoyed watching it and just grasping. Grasp another translation. See what else it says. New King James here says the sons of rebellion. Yeah. This is sort of tight stuff. This is like a new bikie gang's name that wants to take over Wanganui. The sons of rebellion are the word for the godless. And people will challenge me and say, but Pastor Graham, we're called to pray for our leaders. Romans 13:1 says it. I totally agree. Romans 13:1 does say that. But the leaders, if you start reading the scripture in context of what it's about, must be the ones appointed by the Lord God Almighty. I ask a question. Did the Khmer of Cambodia pray for Pol Pot? Did the Russian Orthodox peasant pray for Stalin? No. And we can go on and on and on of areas of examples in life where it is obviously ungodly to pray for those over there. We need to make certain that the ones we're praying to are ones with some that are God appointed. The godless people, we need an iron-tipped spear on a shaft to cut them. A man called Ian Johnson lives up in Lockdown Central, and he put a post the other day on the One Party website. And he's one of the leaders of the One Party, and he said, let's keep the scripture into context here, meaning Romans 13:1. The higher powers we are to submit to are not tyrannical despots. Otherwise, the martyrs have all died in vain. And the blood and the foundations that the church was laid down on has been spilt in vain. And Jesus and the apostles were all out of order. And the church is in rebellion to God because it won't submit to human governments. Yes, we need to pray for those in authority, but keep a parallel and look at what the Word of God says about the godlessness of them. We sung a song today, and Graham spoke on it the other week, about calming the chaos. Bring the chaos back into order. Back into order. The only one who can do that is the Lord God Almighty. We can try, but He has the ability to bring chaos back into order. In leaving an inheritance, we want to build something for our grandchildren. Now, there's a something, and there's various versions of what this something looked like. Sometimes this one's done round because it's talking about out of Genesis 11, the Tower of Babel. Some others say it was in a ziggurat formation, which was all the little squares and steps going up. But it does say there was a path going around it. A guy called the Roman historian, wrote a whole lot of studies on it. But in leaving an inheritance and a hope for our grandchildren, we must believe and pray for a God-fearing government to be in our nation. But we see at the moment, all across the world, go home today and pick a nation. Belarus, Belgium, Greece, pick a nation. And just Google onto it and say, what is their government saying? Oh, a lot of similarities. Yes, there are a lot of similarities. And all across the world, there is an agenda of control, fear, restriction, and ungodly legislation. This is not a New Zealand thing. This is a worldwide thing, but we live in New Zealand, and that's the area where we can be effective. Remember, New Zealand is a small little nation. We're not even a decent-sized city on world standards. Doug has told me about cities he goes to, which is more than our population, almost double more than our population, and it's just a city, just a city. We don't even know its name, sort of thing. We are a small population basis, but we still have a power and authority in a world standing, which is why we as a nation can see things change if we commit to see a change. If we want to submit and go with everybody else, well, we will be a part of that. But maybe, just maybe, we are born for a time such as this. Genesis 11:4, as they built the Tower of Babel, they said, come, let us build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches to the sky. And this will keep us famous and stop us from being scattered all over the world. Well, God came in and moved, and they were scattered. But I would suggest to you and speak to you that any form of government that is based on the tree of knowledge is evil. The tree of knowledge, it was the two trees in the garden. My final sermon at Riverstones, we'll come back to two trees in the garden again, and my first sermon was that. One is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And guess what? Everything the devil says is a liar. Even the good things he says are lies, because it comes from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And any government that is based on the tree of the knowledge of good and evil is evil. The good they know is only good for them. It is not good for the people. It is not good for the future. It is good for I, me, and myself in what I am doing to build myself a tower to be magnificent to me. True government must belong to the tree of life. The other tree that was in the Bible. But David wanted to build something not quite like that tower. He wanted to build a temple. 1 Chronicles 28, and we've got two or three verses we come here. And it says, David rose to his feet, and he's speaking to a whole group of people towards the very end of his life. He's got all his rulers and everybody there. And he says, my brothers and my people, it was my desire to build a temple where the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, God's footstool, could rest permanently. And I made the necessary preparations for building it. But God said to me, you must not build a temple to honor my name, for you are a warrior and have shed much blood. And David was a warrior and he'd shed blood. And God didn't want the tainting of the shedding of that blood to be in any building that was built to be a habitat for him, a place where people of Israel and the Gentiles, if they understood the Israeli thing, could come and see, this is where God is. This is where God is. Verse 6, he said to me, your son Solomon will build my temple and its courtyards, for I've chosen him as my son, and I will be his father. And if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I'll read that again, and if he continues to obey my commands and regulations as he does now, I will make his kingdom last forever. So this is David's last exploit. This is David's last words. He is speaking out a future for a whole lot of people through his son. We need to be a blessing. We need to bless people as we leave. We need to be a blessing. We should have a slide for that. Be a blessing. Hopefully we'll come up. There it is. We all should want to leave a legacy of hope and purpose for the generations to come. Those of you who got mums and dads, you want to do that. But there is a cost. There are statutes and guidelines we must obey. But there are commands of a spiritual nature. Praising the Lord, lifting his son Jesus on high, having the Bible as the source of our truth over everything. Never lend a statement and say the only source of truth is, and some of you know what the people say, this is the only source of truth and it must align with this. And we must not close off narratives that do not align with the popular governmental feeling in whichever country we are in. If you think what I'm saying and you go on Google and say, well, everything says this, Pastor Graham, well, guess what? That's because Google have had things pulled off. A lot of you might remember about 18 months ago, I did a whole series by my friend Danny Jones from the Westlake Baptist Community Church in Georgia. All of those sermons have been pulled. You cannot access them anymore. Oh, there's nice ones about giving hope to the world, and there's nice, but anything that's got a specific to do with the situation in America of 15, 18 months ago have been removed. They're not allowed to be there because that's what's happening. 1 Chronicles 28b says, be careful to obey all the commands of the Lord your God so that you may continue to possess this good land and to leave it to your children as a permanent inheritance. We need to be strong. You don't leave a blessing. You go and do that. It says we need to be strong, be careful and continue. We need to be concerned about our planet. Absolutely. Don't go throwing rubbish away. Watch what you're doing. Look about it. But don't stop every cow from doing a poo because guess what? We need cows. And if they're going to make a ruling, cows can't poo, well, we're going to have a real serious problem. And let's get down to that's just one of the things that is there is threats going around in the whole area. But we need to be very concerned for people and not start to get one group pitting against the other group and doing the fighting for what someone wants. That is not godly, no matter what you might think. And if we do follow those, it's good. But if we don't, look at this next slide, the finality of rejecting the Lord. It should come up. It's called do not. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you for 5 minutes. No. Let's read this together, because this needs to sink into our lives where we are. If you seek him, all of us together, come on. If you seek him, you will find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. How long is forever? A long, a long, a long time. Longer than waiting for lunch. Longer than waiting for an opportunity to go and do some ministry again. It is really bad news. We can't be there like that. We've got to make certain we seek him. You'll find him if you seek him, no matter where you are. God is there. God is there. The girls Kalinda's told us about, they will find him because they've got people, they'll seek him. Maybe one has now while they're waiting to go another place, but they will find him. It may not happen straight away, but they will seek. Seek doesn't mean, oh, okay, it's there, done it. No, seek means you start searching for, you start going for. Remember we prayed 3 weeks ago for that family and they looked and looked and looked and looked and looked and then suddenly, sure, circumstances were strange, but they came. It didn't happen just the next minute. It took a while. The little girl in West Australia, they sought and now she's, oh, this is my name. Okay, and she's safe. Seeking is a cost. But I have a challenge to us all. And the challenge is part of this, if we want to give an inheritance, we need to know about giving and receiving of blessings. Next slide says, do we give to get or do we get to give? King David amassed an incredible amount of wealth. He amassed gold, silver, bronze, iron, wood, jewels, and he gave them all up out of his own private treasures to help in the construction of the temple. 1 Chronicles 29. You can read it all. There's quite a few verses of what he gave and what he had. And this giving to leave an inheritance for future generations paved the way for others. Later on, say, oh, everyone, oh, wow, the king did that, so I'm going to give this. And someone did that, so I'm going to give this. And it paved the way for others to give freely and wholeheartedly, it says. And that enabled Solomon to build the luxurious temple for all of Israel to go and praise the Lord in. It wasn't a temple for Solomon's private little chapel. It was a temple for all of Jerusalem. And we read later on in the book of Haggai that the former temple was so much better than the one they rebuilt. And the one that Herod built, he tried to sort of do it by hand to make it flash, but it's nothing like the temple that Solomon built that came because David gave. So he got a whole lot of stuff into him, and then he gave it out. But if you give to get, the motive is what's in it for me. It's an attitude some use before they give. Giving must be a gift. Otherwise, it's not giving. If it's what will I get, it's a contract, it's all sorts of things, it's a business transaction. Oh, yeah, I'll give someone this kind of money and they will give me food. Well, that's great. Raj had it yesterday in his shop. People give him money and he gives them food. That is not giving to get. But when Raj comes up to someone and says, oh, look, here's a meal for you, and just walks away, that's different. So giving to get is the attitude, is what's in it for me. But when we get from God, putting God first in our priority, we are able to give. We put him first. We let him provide blessings to us. And we're able to pass those on to people to leave an inheritance. They might be small, little and things, and they may be enormously big things, but you have the opportunity to do that. I still always carry cash in my wallet. So when I walk around town and the people are there playing their music or whatever, I am able to give to them. Not that I like their music all the time, but okay. And some of them may not need it, but we need to have that ability to be able to, you choose that you can, because God has given to you. Don't, oh, this is mine, no one's going to have it. No, he's given it to you. Try and give it away, Because you won't succeed, because he'll just keep coming back to you, coming back to you and coming back to you. And then you're able to choose to live a life. And there's a whole lot of things happening this week about choosing to live in New Zealand. You can choose to live a life that opens opportunities for you to bless others. And they are there everywhere. It's not me first and God second. It's God first, and we put our trust in him. 1 Chronicles 28:10. In David's last words to his leaders, commanders, overseers, palace officials, and mighty men, he gave them a challenge to think on. We've talked about challenges now, but we've flicked to the Chronicles version of the same story. And it says, so take this seriously. Wake up. If you're sleeping right now, wake up. Take it seriously. Take it seriously. God is doing it. The Lord has chosen you to build a temple as a sanctuary. Be strong and do the work. In other words, it's going to be hard work. In other words, there's going to be a challenge to it. But take time and to do it seriously. Pastor Jenner and I have not collaborated on this message, the same as Pastor Doug and Ryan didn't collaborate on theirs. But I believe there's sort of stuff floating around this nation. I'm going to speak to it. Right now, all across New Zealand, people are having to make a decision on whether to get an experimental limited number unproven vaccine. And that's what it's called, a limited number. The Limited Express, which in my days used to run from Wellington to Auckland, stopped at 8 stations. And there are about 240 stations on the trip to Auckland. The limited number they've set is 5 million. I don't think that's limited. I'll leave it there. This government has now forming a mandate which shows every sign of being a precursor to Revelation's mark of the beast. It's not the mark of the beast, but the mandate is what I'm against right now today. Your choice on the vaccine, and I'm praying for everybody who I know, good friends of mine, have had the vaccine. And so I'm praying for their health. I want to see that. I want to see. That's their reason. But when you are told you must, because you must, because you must, then people are challenged and they're torn as to what to do. I meditated on this up in Napier, and I've come back to do a study on end times, and I started in Daniel. Daniel chapter 6 tells us that the administrators and the officials and the high officers made a law that would be strictly enforced. The law was that no one should pray to anyone except the king. Daniel went home, opened the windows and prayed, giving thanks to God. He was arrested and thrown into the lion's den. But the Lord kept the lion's mouth shut and he survived. More than that, the king declared that the Almighty God is the living God whose kingdom will never be destroyed. So I know now out of Daniel that God's kingdom will never be destroyed. There will be challenges, but never be destroyed. No matter what you face, have your priorities right. Be like Daniel and get down on your knees and pray. And trust the Lord to give you his answer for your life. And he will answer you. He will answer you. And your choice, I believe, is your choice. You don't have to advertise it and poke it around. Your choice is your choice and what God has told you to do for the circumstances that you are in, which are completely different to the circumstances that someone else is in. And amazingly, we had a song today about being Holy Spirit inspired. David gave the plans that he had in mind, which were given to him by the Holy Spirit, to Solomon. 1 Chronicles 28:11 said David gave Solomon the plans for the temple and its surroundings, including the entry rooms, the storerooms, the upstairs rooms, the inner sanctuary, which is the place of atonement. And David also gave Solomon all the plans he had in mind for the courtyards of the Lord's temple, the outside rooms, the treasuries, the rooms for the gifts and everything dedicated to the Lord, and on and on and on. It's very similar to how Moses received the plans for the tabernacle. He spent time with the Lord. Ah, that's what a tabernacle looks like. the original boat builder, Noah, spent time with the Lord and got told to construct a bow and a stern and a keel. No one knew what on earth those things were. They hadn't been invented or used because they didn't even have any rain or water on the ground. But time comes, the Holy Spirit drops in to you. And I believe that's what we've got to do to our whole things in our life. Wherever we are, we must spend time with the Holy Spirit, praise His name, and ask Him to drop in. What is the answer for me? And that's the answer for you. And it's not for me to come and say, you're wrong. And it's not for me to come and say, you're right. That is the answer between God and you. And I must, and I sometimes I probably step over that boundary, and I'm sorry if I do. That is the answer that you get for you. David got plans for a temple, and he passed it to his son, and he built it. And you can keep reading and reading in Chronicles and in Kings and discover all about it. And it was a magnificent temple. And they talk about little curly things on the top of the posts, and all the detail is there. What we need to do is to have a clean, repentful heart. David did things wrong, but he had a repentful heart. No hidden sin. David had some sin, but he came out and came to the fore, and it was all done and gone. And we need to seek his direction. So this is not condemning of you in anywhere, wherever you are, because you can repent and you can bring the sin to light and you can seek his direction, no matter what you've done. What I love about David is that he's shown us that all is not lost, because when we trust him, amazing things can happen. The Lord used David with all his sins, and Carl and Peter and Ryan, can you guys come? Because he wants to use you too to play your instruments right now. But I was going to say, he's going to use you when we use the things like David had to leave an inheritance for our future. To leave an inheritance for people to come and praise and worship here. Gina and I are here today because past pastors laid an inheritance for this church for us to have. Now we want to lay an inheritance for Pastor Scott and Pastor Joel and Pastor Paul oversighting it to have. We want to lay that to them. That's why the other week we had YWAM here doing work. Why is Pastor Graham with a sore shoulder going and help him bang some asphalt? Because I want to lay an inheritance for the future that these guys can build on. And what they're going to do, I have no idea. But I know that he does. I know that he does in everything that happens. So to lay an inheritance for the future, remember to obey the Lord's statutes. Remember to be generous as you give, because then you can flow into all sorts of areas of generosity. And then victory will come. And I finish up with a simple scripture, because there's not been a lot about the New Testament in this. It is Old Testament teaching, but it's about the Lord God Almighty. 1 Peter 1:2 says, God the Father. That's God of the original testament, of the first testament. That's that God there. Knew you and chose you, Jolene. 521 years ago. No, even before that. A long time ago. It says God knew you and chose you years and years ago, a long ago. And his Spirit has made you holy, Jolene. His Spirit has made you holy. Yes, you've prayed, and yes, you've done this, and yes, you've done that, but you've allowed His Spirit to come in and help you do things. His Spirit makes us holy. I had to wash my mum's dishes yesterday because the dishwasher's broke, and I have to use Lux Liquid and a scrubbing thing to get it clean. It's like the Holy Spirit comes in, and I'm going to help you. I'm going to help you. This one you need to meditate on a bit longer, Graham. This one you need to do a bit further, Graham. And then we are made holy and able to be in His presence. The book of Haggai speaks about it. I won't go there, but we've got to be in, made holy. And as a result, you have obeyed Him. And then you've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's beyond comprehension. All I've done has been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And 1 Peter 1:2 finishes, may God give you more and more grace and peace. I want to speak hope today, that may God give you more grace and peace. I trust I haven't offended anyone with what I'm saying, but I believe some of these things need to be said and need to be said. But we need to be very careful how we put it, and we don't put my condemnation onto you. That is something we must not do. Because we're all told to work out our salvation with fear and trembling and trust in Him. I have a New Zealand flag here right now, and Pastor Gina, I know you want to finish the service up, but I think it would be good if we just prayed for our nation of Aotearoa New Zealand. Because this week there's stuff happening, and it could go awful bad, or it could be able to bring a change. So Lord God, we lift up our nation, Lord God, to your name. Lord God, we lift up every area of authority in this nation, Lord God. And Lord God, we do not want to see, Lord God, godless in authority. We want to see God fearing in authority. So Lord God, I don't know how you're going to do it or what you're going to do, but you have the ability to change things that do not seem to be right. Lord God, we lift up our nation to your name. We lift up unity over our nation to your name. And we lift up, Lord God, the people that live in our nation to your name, Lord God. And we speak hope and a future to their lives, Lord God. And a future full, Lord God, of your grace and peace. We ask you to bless this nation we've chosen to live in. In Jesus' name, amen.